Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to...
Learn to Like Each Other. Where were you?
Learn to Like Each Other. I'm still on the old name.
Get over it.
I'm sorry.
We're done. We're on a new thing. It's a new thing.
We're on new things. This is Learn to Like Each Other. I feel ashamed. I'm a podcasting professional, and I should know better. I should know the name of my show.
That's okay.
Forgiveness. We've learned in our 117 episodes.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine?
So how are you, Stephanie?
I am very good. I had what the experts call a big week.
A big week. Tell me about your big, big week.
So I think a while ago we did a three-part special on how the babies are fed. Mm-hmm. And we talked about formula. And we talked about breastfeeding.
Yes.
Then we also talked about donor human milk.
We did talk about human donor milk.
And so... Mm-hmm. I am on a project at work to build a donor human milk bank in the community that we live in.
Oh, it's so cool.
And so that's really beneficial because it helps out a lot of babies.
Yes.
The thing about building anything new that's often a barrier for many people is money.
Oh?
So we were on...
I have to have money if I want to do this big, huge
thing? I know. If you want to do a big, huge thing that helps people, it's not free.
I can't feed all the babies for free. Don't you love babies?
So we were at the point where we knew how much money it cost, and I was looking up grants, writing grants, looking for the money.
Show me the money.
And then a thing happened. We have a president and CEO who's worked for the hospital for 30 years, and she's retiring.
Yeah, nice lady.
She was wonderful.
I met her one time, and I was like, she's a president? She comes across as very, like, down to earth.
She's super down to earth.
And I was pleasantly surprised. I'm like, this lady is cool. Georgia. She's cool.
Georgia. And so I was invited to her retirement dinner, and it was one of the best events I've ever gone to.
Really?
Yes. It was just really well done.
Every time you tell me about it, I hear new things that are better and better.
So it was at the country club. There were a lot of people around town that do a lot of important things that were there. And as the night goes on, there's presentations, talk of her history. The board comes up, explains a few things. Mm-hmm. And then Georgia comes to the front of the room, and there's probably 150, 200 people there. And she starts talking about a gift that she wants to give to our foundation as part of her legacy. Okay. And she and her husband have agreed on this.
She wants to go out with a bang.
Yes.
All right.
So she gives away $1 million that night.
Did she say it like Dr. Evil?
No. One million.
I would give away $1 million.
She was holding this cat. It was weird.
Yeah. For lasers. You find out the money's only for lasers.
So we didn't know that this was going to happen that night. And honestly, I didn't know why I had been invited. Mm-hmm. But she starts talking about projects at work that people are doing. And one of the things that she's passionate about is funding services for employees. So funded thousands of dollars for an employee giving back program where if employees have an emergency and they can't meet their needs, they can go to this fund for money.
Oh, that's so cool.
She also gave money to a few other programs. And as she's announcing who she's giving money to, people are getting called up to the front. And then eventually, as she's calling people up, she says my name. And I think to myself, what is happening?
I'm not supposed to be here.
And I've been working on this project with the chief nursing officer. And so the chief nursing officer comes up next to me and is kind of putting her arm around me, and we're standing there. And then she announces that as part of her legacy, she's going to fund this donor human milk bank.
That's amazing.
And of course,
amazing.
I immediately burst into tears. And the room starts clapping because it's a very big, generous gift. But then a moment that I had was, then the chief nursing officer turns to me and says, I told you to always dream big.
Dream big. I feel like there's, I believe I can fly.
It was, I believe I can touch. You know, there's pivotal moments in your life, marriage, kids. This was a pivotal moment in my life because I feel like everyone always says to dream big when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. But honestly, you know me. I'm the person that's, tell me when it's actually done.
You are a dream small, but plan big.
Yes. I believe it when I see it.
I'll believe it. No, not even then. You'll believe it when it's already happened and done.
Is it totally successful? Then don't tell me about it.
Then I don't want to know.
I don't care about your dreams. I care about what you've done.
Yes.
This changed my view of everything. Because then I thought, oh my gosh, what if I actually did dream bigger? And what if we could make this happen? And what if stuff like this can be a reality?
Hmm. This gives me a good idea for the podcast.
Oh.
Since you're a different...
Tell me when it's done.
Since you're a different person now, we can go back and do every single episode over again.
Yes.
And it's just a whole another 100-some episodes of content with you and your new perspective.
Isn't there that one podcast where they just watch the same movie every time and then talk about it?
Worst idea of all time is what it's called. And it went for three
seasons. Is it weekly? Monthly?
They did it weekly. They watched Daddy Day... No. They watch Sex in the City 2.
They don't watch good movies.
Sex in the City 2. Yeah. I think Daddy Daycare 2. And then they have a... it's called Till Death Do Us Blart with the McElroy brothers, where every American Thanksgiving until the end of linear time, they watch and review Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. So...
That's funny.
Yes. That people do that.
Oh, so... Suffice. I guess I don't know what that word is.
How do you suffice to say?
Is it?
James will know. Producer James. He's promoted James to producer. He had corrections from the last episode about we thought we had it with the
U.S. Surgeon General,
but we were wrong. But he was right. I forgot what he'd said.
Do you want to pull up the message while I finish my little spiel?
Yeah.
So, suffice if someone correct me to say, the donor bank is getting funded. It was a pivotal moment in my life, and I'm excited that in the next few years we'll probably talk about whenever it happens and how it goes, and I'm excited to help people. I'm running out of little small talk as Del goes to scroll. Okay, go.
So we talked about the Surgeon General and how I think that the Surgeon General goes around smacking packs of cigarettes out of people's hands.
Full-time job. And stands outside of bars. Across the,
riding on a bald eagle, doing surgery on the president, whacking cigarettes out of people's hands. But the Surgeon General, James, producer James, he has told me that the Surgeon General is the head of the U.S. Public Health Service, which was originally the medical corps of the Navy. So it was associated with the Navy. Now it's its own thing. And they have a military type ranks. So there's a fun fact. If they have military style uniforms, they have military style uniforms too. And the officers at the CDC often object to wearing them because they're military. And these people are like doctors and scientists. And they're like, I want to wear my nerd lab coat. But they have to wear...
Lab coats are comfy.
Military clothes, which is... That's fun. I like my version better, but whatever. We'll stick with the facts.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Oh, yes.
Good job, milk banking for America. What's going to be the name of the milk bank? Because I have some ideas.
Shh. No, we're not talking about that yet. No secrets will get out.
No, but these are...
I've got ideas.
These aren't like... Okay.
Milk lemonade. We're done.
The Milky Way.
Yes.
That's
the street it will be on.
That's the street it will be on. I had Milk Magic. Utterly delicious. I figured that I had a list, but then I realized most of these would be good names for ice cream places and not specifically milk banks. So maybe I will save my ideas for another day.
I thought you wanted me to actually say.
No. Okay. Well, I didn't know if you had any off the cuff sort of like that
silly willy ideas.
Silly willy ideas. But I'm very proud of you. And we did, if you haven't heard the last, you know, we did a 3-episode series on how to feed babies, and the milk bank thing was part of that. And it's just cool to have this story that you have with milk and banking it and all that. All everything that applies.
That's right.
So what else is going on with you, Boo?
That's the biggest thing. How about you, Boo? What you got?
Well, when you got invited to your event, that's the retirement party, what did your gut tell you when you got that invitation?
I think I told you not enough people must have RSVP'd.
You're like a Oscar seat filler.
And that I must be on the B list. And because alphabetically, Belcher, pretty close to the top. They must be doing random draws.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And when you went, when they called your name, what did your gut tell you?
Oh, dear God, what's happening?
But you knew something was coming. And we are going to do a little bit of a twist. A twist?
Do you have more money you're giving me that you've been saving up for years?
No, better. I'm doing the split.
Oh, we're transitioning to that now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've gone enough time. We could go on.
Okay.
Unless you have something else you want to talk about.
I don't have anything else.
Well, my transition was so perfect. We're just going to do it anyway.
Okay.
But here's the deal, babe. What we're talking about today is your gut.
Oh,
using your gut in relationships.
It all comes back now. Yeah, so we talked. Dell was telling me this really good book article thing he was reading, and I was like, "This sounds great for the podcast. You should do it."
And I said, "Okay." But the second time you came up with the situation when you were up there, you knew in your gut something was happening, and you were kind of realizing what was going on. And so a lot of people feel that they need to trust their gut. And a lot of people do say, I have a bad feeling about this. Has there been times where you have trusted your gut? Do you feel like you have a pretty good gut?
I think after I became a mom, I started trusting my gut more. Before that, I would overthink a lot more and be very concerned and then wish that I had done things according to my intuition.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I have a... I think I do. But I, for those who don't know what we're talking about with trusting your gut, it's kind of that instinct. It's sort of that, you know, it when you feel that something bad's going down or something good's going down, or when you're deciding like what do you want. And a lot of people in relationships, you'll see it in movies or in reality TV shows, like you trust my gut with this person. And it can be good. It can be bad. And where this idea came from, as I was reading Malcolm Gladwell's book, it's called Blink. And it's about that sort of few moments where you have an opportunity to trust your gut and how it can be really, really good to do that more. But then also you should be wary of it. But basically his main thesis is that with a finely tuned gut through like experience and education and using your other resources around you, you can create a way to be able to trust your gut more.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't just be like, I just trust my gut.
So how to hone your gut.
Yeah, how to hone your gut.
Gut honing, gut 101. Honing,
gut fashioning, 101. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I think this is going to be a really, really good...
Who is Malcolm Gladwell?
He's a journalist.
I know he's done another thing.
He's a journalist, and he writes a lot of smart books. Blink being one of them. He has a podcast as well, which is a pretty good podcast. But basically, we're talking about snap judgments and whether or not we can trust our gut or not. And then when it comes to relationships, is our gut a trustworthy guide for whether we should maybe date
Ooh.
Someone or move further on with a relationship? So in the book, it's interesting because he kicks off the book pretty early talking about your favorite love doctor and mine, Dr. Gottman.
Oh, yes.
Of Love Lab fame. He says that Dr. Gottman has a pretty good gut instinct when it comes to seeing if people are going to be, you know, stayed married or not. That with like nowadays, if he's out for dinner, he's interviewing him in the book. He's like, I'm out for dinner. It's hard to not listen in on people's conversations. And within a few moments, we're like, oh, they're going to make it. They're not. And
yeah.
it sounds like he's kind of being judgy, but he's
someone who... You kind of don't want to meet, but you do.
Yeah. But basically,
like
he has a finely tuned gut to where he's able to make these decisions.
Okay.
Right? And if you don't know about his love lab, basically, he's had over 3,000 couples since the mid-80s come to his little lab in Washington State. And when he does an hour-long session, he has over 95% accuracy. He can identify if you're going to get divorced or not.
That's crazy.
And basically what they do, I didn't know this part of the love lab. They hook you up to electrodes, and then they videotape you, and then mm-hmm. they ask you to talk about something in your relationship. Your dog, dinner, whatever.
Yeah.
And they break down. They have 20 points of data that they collect. Like any emotion that you could have in like
Yeah, don't disdain, they do like biometrics and stuff?
They do biometrics, but they also look at, they can see like your contempt, defensiveness, and every second of that hour or that 15 minutes, they catalog as a different point.
That's crazy.
So in 6 seconds, they can have happy, contempt, disdain, defensive, and that's how they decode it. So in 15 minutes, they end up with like 18,000 points, 9,000 for each spouse, and then that's how he decodes along with electrodes whether you're jittery or not. So it's crazy. So he is using his gut in then saying, like, I've met you. But he's learned. He's tuned. And so that's...
Yeah, it's gut, but it's also a lot of training, too.
Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of a sidetrack, but Gottman has a staff member who was like, I want to see if I can reduce this. So
reduce the divorce part?
The time. So she can figure
like
out...
like 10 minutes instead of 15 or something?
Get this. With very similar response rates, she did it in 3 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
So in 3 minutes...
Do you think they could do it before people even get married to help with save yourself the time and energy?
Probably might do it.
Man.
But I guess what it's saying is like figuring there is value into being able to identify things quickly and early.
Yeah.
You know, and you can then fine tune an expertise of that. I feel like we're really bad with that with relationships because there's
fine tuning
our judgment on whether someone's good for us or not.
Oh,
because there's love,
some people are, yeah.
And there's you're horny and you're in love and there's all these things.
So mixing up our
head and our heart and our gut gets really complicated.
Yeah, because normally it's head and heart. The gut often gets left out of the conversation.
Right. So I found an article from Susan Hitler. She's a Heitler, not Hitler.
H-I-T-T-L-E-R?
H-E-I-T-L-E-R.
H, what is it?
Susan Heitler.
How do you spell it?
H-E-I-T-L-E-R.
That's an unfortunate
spelling. She's a PhD, and this is from Psychology Today.
Okay.
And her article is, Can I Trust My Gut to Know If I've Found My True Love?
Ooh.
So, again, I feel like gut. Like, was it Olivia Pope in that one show? It's all about her gut. Here's my gut. You know, but you can make it better. She has a 5-point test that you can do to see if what you're feeling in that gut, in that those flutters, to see if what you're feeling matches up with things that you actually should want and that are good for your relationship.
So matching up the intuition, but kind of sorting out the emotion and the logic.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So like I feel a certain way, but does what I feel match this test? And if it does, awesome. And if it doesn't, kind of giving an objective look of like, if it doesn't, then maybe you should step back and kind of see.
So is this something that people could use in their relationships?
I feel that anyone listening who's in either a relationship now, maybe looking to get married or looking to maybe get into a relationship or maybe looking to make a decision with their partner further, you probably feel some way about it, you know, and this is just a guide to kind of check your gut to make sure you're going in the right direction.
Could you also use it for other decision making too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. This one's a
jobs,
little bit,
houses, more kids.
This one's a bit more specific on relationships.
Okay,
so we're gonna get to that.
Okay, cool.
But
I'm excited either way.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Oh. On whether or not you can trust your gut. Guess what her answer is?
Most of the time.
Sort of no.
Oh.
It's.
What about Malcolm Gladwell?
It's again using your gut, but using it in a way that's fine tuned and like honed and like and removing some of your emotion, but not totally like neglecting its value.
So a balance. Okay. A balance. Okay.
So we're
going to
balance the gut. You ready?
Well, now that you ruined it for me.
No, but this is how you do it.
Okay.
This is how you do it.
Okay.
You'll like it.
Okay.
Ready? Number one.
Yes.
Here's the number one in the test of how to check your gut. know thyself. When you start choosing people you might love, the attraction goes to folks who are like what you are not. But as you mature, she says, into your full identity, you hopefully will choose people who are like what you like best about yourself. So here's, if you're debating on someone in your life, maybe to date or to marry or something like that, here's an experiment you can do. Close your eyes.
Can I do it?
You can do
now?
It.
Now?
Close your eyes. Yep.
Wait, let's do it with me. Okay.
And this will be to see if I'm the right partner for you.
Oh.
Close your eyes. Allow images and words to come up as you think about what you like best about yourself.
About myself?
Mm-hmm. And write them down. And then write at least three.
Wait, should I write down while I'm...
Yeah, yeah. Write them down. 3 to 5 attributes that you see. Do, 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 do. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay.
Okay. So what are they?
I think that I am loyal to people.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm smart.
Okay. So here's what she says to do next at this point.
Okay.
Is to go back a few minutes later, read it. We'll speed up time. Okay, we're 5 minutes in the future. You're reading it back. Ready?
Ha ha ha, that joke was so funny.
Basically, you need to read it. And those three things are things that you need to find in the partner that you want to be with.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So you want someone loyal, funny, and...
smart.
Smart.
Aww.
You know, we try to go for someone that's like balance or opposite or whatever, but... really, the things that you want in yourself as a mature person, you want someone that can reinforce and build those things. And usually that person will have the same thing.
Honestly, I feel like I want this in my friends, too. Mm-hmm. I look at my friend group and I feel like my friends have a lot of these traits.
Yeah. So that's number one. Number two, way to test your gut.
Do I get to write more and close my eyes?
Wait,
I want you to do it, too. You do it, too.
Okay. So
okay.
Three things.
Del, close your eyes.
Sexy. Very cute. And
boobs.
Good with boobs and good with money. Okay. Oh, wow.
No, did you do it?
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, I mean, thought you were going to do it.
No, I was just joking. I don't have breasts. Come on.
Oh, okay.
As the proctor of the exam, I don't know how I feel
okay,
like the pool.
Close your eyes.
No, I'm doing the thing.
Okay. Can we do it after?
We can do it after.
Okay.
I'll do it after. actually, if I did do it, it would be like funny and kind and like driven.
You're definitely all
those are things that you are as well.
Yeah, you are funny, kind, and driven.
So if you're thinking about somebody and you're like, this is what I love about myself, and then you look at that possible partner and they don't match those things, maybe you should think twice. Check your gut.
I like that. You could both, like, you could do a date night and both do it separately, and then
it could either turn out really well or really bad.
But hey, definitely do it before you're married.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. So the next one, test number two, is the MP test, or the marriage potential test.
Ooh.
This test is basically a bunch of checks that she suggests. This person's also like a marriage counselor, therapist person. So here's some checks, some questions to ask yourself. On if they have good marriage potential, if this is a marriage situation.
We're a little late to this one.
Yeah, I know. Do they have good self-esteem?
Oh.
Do they have their life together? And can they take care of themselves?
Yeah.
Do they have an unwillingness to harm and a willingness to heal?
An unwillingness to harm? Oh, sorry, yes.
Basically, they never maliciously and intentionally try to hurt you when they, you know, and when they unintentionally hurt you, they...
And a willingness to heal?
Mm-hmm. That's something that's good for a partner.
Okay.
If they have that, good. You are not embarrassed to take them anywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one. I once dated someone where I was. Red flag. Yeah. But I was younger
and
stupid.
If you're embarrassed to take them in front of certain groups of friends or to your family, like, check your gut. Do they pass the Brandon test?
What's the Brandon test?
So, Brandon is one of her best friends, and no matter the situation, she's excited if Brandon's coming because they know that Brandon is there and it'll be more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Does the partner excite you and make your daily life more enjoyable?
Yeah.
Do they pass that Brandon test?
I like it.
You must not just love them, but like them. Would you want to be their friends if you weren't dating or married?
I know, because if you're going to be married and around them all the time, you want to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one is, does this person have a history of long-term relationships?
Yeah, fair enough.
If someone can't hold down a long-term relationship, maybe a problem. Then the last one is, do they have GGG? GGG.
Wait, can I guess what GGG is? Yeah, yeah. Gold, glitter, and gallantry. I don't know.
That's very close. This is actually created a term created by sex and advice columnist Dan Savage.
GGG. This is a Dan Savage acronym.
It stands
acronym?
For good, giving, and game, which is what we should all strive for in sex partners. Think good in bed, but not just like, ooh, they're good in bed. It's, are they giving?
Are they giving? Yeah.
Are they good at it? Do they provide equal time?
Mm-hmm.
And they got it going on. You know, they got what you like. Game. They got what you like. So that's the good. That's
you
the marriage potential.
It
can be adjusted for kind of that relationship potential. Kay. But if you're feeling a certain way about somebody.
Good giving game.
I feel like when we watch Love Island and Bachelor, if they just did this, it would solve a lot of problems.
Well, then we wouldn't have like a 12-week pointless TV show.
Okay, fine. You're right. The next one is test number 3. Uncle Manny's gotta have it. This is what...
Do people have a lot of... Are there a lot of Uncle Manny's lying around?
Her uncle is named Manny.
Okay.
And she says that he's a master of homespun wisdom. And he says, before you marry someone, be sure that your true love answers this one essential question. Or you answer this about them. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you respect that person? That's what Uncle Manny would say.
Aww.
That's the next test.
Okay.
It takes extrapolates a little bit about it. Is the person you are considering as a mate someone you respect? Can you promise yourself that you will always treat that person respectfully? If you're looking more on the marriage side of things, do you respect the person enough that you can transfer the primary loyalty that up to this point may have been to your parents or your best friends to your new partner?
And also yourself too, right? Because there are some things that, because I'm thinking of times when I'm sick or have been stressed out or had to work and things I would have done, you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with do you trust that this potential fiance person that you're going to marry can do the same to you? Like, can this new person be the focal point of your.
And
of
vice
your,
versa. Yeah.
Your connection. And like, so do you respect them? Like, I've seen relationships where it's like, yes, they're just married, but their family and their friends are kind of their main go-to for
everything
else. Which is, if it works for them, fine. This is just a recommendation that if it's something that you're thinking about, this is something good to look at.
Yeah, I think it's a good gut check.
Test number 4.
Okay. 4.
Deal breakers.
Ooh.
It's okay, she says, to have deal breakers.
Yeah, it should be. I have a few.
And do you have, well, what are they?
My standards?
Yeah, what are your deal breakers?
I think it's some of it. It is the reverse of the like smart, funny, loyal thing. Mm-hmm. I want someone, if someone can't have conversations with me, I like good banter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have good banter,
chat,
you're
good
out.
Chat.
If you can't talk to me and other people, it's never going to happen.
Right.
I think the funny thing too, like some sense of humor. And then because I hold my Christian values really strongly, definitely has to be a Christian. And then good to their family.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, the deal breakers.
What are your deal breakers?
Oh, boy. I have to say someone that treated me like super poorly.
Aww,
I think faith is something that's a big deal. I think I was just always desperate for love that I didn't really have any.
I feel like for you, if someone couldn't, I mean, I don't know. I would, if I die, I would want someone who you are really fun and that you always have fun hobbies. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that if I die and you decide to date someone or get married, that you would find someone who would encourage your hobbies.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that because I have a lot of weird interests and I do love like talking and being very social.
Yeah.
So, you know, you handle my socialness pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, and if that was a huge problem to where, you know, that'd be really hard for me.
Yeah.
And I've been in relationships like that and I don't want to do that anymore.
Good.
That's why I'm in this one. because you're good at
it. You shouldn't have to because you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, she goes a little bit deeper than some of the stuff that we said and said, kind of jumped to that, hey.
Oh, yeah. What are the deal breakers?
You might have a gut like, this guy is so wonderful. But maybe he's like abusive or has a lot of affairs or is an alcoholic or addicted.
Yeah. Well, those are really deep.
Yeah. And also that beware of old-fashioned character flaws, like, you know, being mean or dishonest. These can make marriage...
Women do the dishes,
man. If you think something's like, oh, that's just them, you don't have to put up with that.
No, you don't.
If you are dating or in a relationship with someone who is mean or hits you or anything like that, you don't deserve that. And that should be a deal breaker.
Yeah, I think it can be.
I think a lot of that might be learned just from... parents.
Generations have changed.
Generations change.
And, like, what was normal doesn't have to be normal for you.
Exactly. So it's okay to have a deal breaker. It's okay to say, you know what? I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. So
boundaries.
But maybe your
standards.
Gut, maybe your gut's like, but he's so cool. Yeah, but if
it's a lot of cool people out
he's
there.
An F hat. Don't do it. Okay. Test number 5. Check your gut. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Collaborative skills.
Oh,
this is the last one. So she says true love alone can be insufficient to make marriage last.
Mm, yeah.
In the context of marriage, arguments make marriage unpleasant at times, and so does emotional distance. So just because you are like, we're in love, like that kind of fluctuates. So being able to work together, she says the biggest thing that helps with relationships is communication skills.
Yeah.
And unlike some of those deal breaker things, that communication skills are actually fairly easy to learn.
Yeah, definitely.
And so the key there is if you're willing to collaborate together to working on those communication skills, you can have a very successful relationship. A super successful marriage.
I feel like our communication skills, I don't ever think we were bad, but I feel like after having Carly, we had to get a lot better, because before all we ever really had to talk about was our feelings and our dreams and day to day. But then when we had Carly, we had to talk a lot more about specifically how to coordinate.
When are we going to eat? How are you getting? I need to go here. You have to come here, pick her up, get the car seat, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, being able to communicate.
And change.
Effectively.
Yeah.
And we've both had to work on that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's right on the head there. We could do it without being effective communicators. It would just be really hard.
Yeah, why would we want to, you know? We definitely could make that
because
choice. I'd rather be happy.
Because I love you.
Because I love you.
Yeah. So those are the 5, you know, your gut is good and can be trusted. If, that's the caveat, if you're willing to sort of take in some support and some other things into account to kind of check your gut, like to go around saying like, I'm right because I know because this is how I feel. Like, yes, your feelings are very valid, but there are some things that can make your gut even better and make what you feel even better if you're just willing to kind of take some time and examine yourself. So, I mean, these tests are just, they're just tests. It's not like the golden rule or anything, but they're hopefully you can use them to help enable you to have some good information gathering in your decision making. Take your gut seriously, but you got that head, got that heart, got the information.
You have at least 3 organs.
You got 3 organs.
Use those 3, and not just the 4th.
Not just
you
the
know what
4th.
I'm talking
you
about.
You know what I'm talking about, and know some of these tips. These tests, and I think they'll really help you out.
I like that. I really like the first one.
Yeah, the first one's know thyself.
Yeah.
So know who you are. You do the marriage potential test. If you're looking at that marital side of things, it could be honed down for just general friendship relationships. Uncle Manny's got to have it. What do you got to have? Respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect.
Thank God.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me.
It's okay to have deal breakers.
Yep.
And make sure that you have, this is someone that has collaborative skills. Make sure that you're with someone who shows signs of being willing and able to learn and grow.
Good.
Good.
I liked this.
So that's it.
You should do the article again. It's way easier for me.
Yeah. Now you know how I feel most of the time.
I just liked listening and learning. That was fun.
You can edit the podcast.
You did a good job.
Oh, thanks. I get nervous when I have to do it.
It is nerve-wracking.
You're, well, and you're like an expert on everything. So it makes me nervous. But we collaborated.
Yes.
And I think from reading this and thinking about it, I think I said this 3 times, but I will have to say, like, I do feel like I could trust my gut a little bit at more than I do, because I think I sometimes don't at all, and I just overload myself with information, then I just freeze. And in Blink, he talks about that. Malcolm Gladwell talks about, sometimes we overdo it on the information where we just can't do anything. Or get so far
analysis
away.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a word for that?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
In analyst world, it's a big joke.
But being able to, because then you'll lose some of that human part of it too. So you get your, kind of have your human like instinct kind of kickstart that process, and then check it out. And you have friends that you trust, that you have rapport with, you know, some of these tests, I think you can make some really, really good decisions that will help you have better relationships.
Love it.
Love it. Stephanie, that's all I got for today.
You did great.
Thanks. So hopefully you all listening loved it as well. And we'd like to hear some information and maybe some thoughts that you have about this. What do you do to trust your gut? Let us know in the comments. That would be great. Also, make sure you share this episode and all of our other episodes with your friends. Spread the word. We really love doing this podcast, and we hope that you love listening to it, and sharing it out would be super helpful. Also, you can leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or all other podcast places. I will say Spotify is cool. It has a lot of cool ways to share the episode, like with your Instagram story and stuff. So check that out. And then also, if you have a second, go and listen to my other podcast for a minute. It's called Lobotomy 101. It's very, very dumb, very fun. But Stephanie, I think that's all our business. I think that's all the information that I got. What do you have? Anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other very, very, very much.